A God who works, an enemy who schemes. You know, and I think it's very valuable to us as Christians to learn, to know where the devil's at work, because we have the power and the victory in Jesus to defeat him. And if we don't recognize it, you know, then we don't use the weapons and the armor. We've had some wonderful teachings. I've been in a teaching with Linda on the armor of God a few years back. And then I know Shannon, that was what she taught us this past year. And just spiritual warfare. So we are equipped as believers, and we don't have to give in to the enemy. And I'm thankful for that. So tonight I want to look at how God works and how the enemy works. And I just, you know, in putting this together, I was just thinking, who am I to even think that I can teach you how God works? I can't, you know. He's amazing and beyond our understanding, beyond our natural minds. But remember, and I'll mention it again, we have the Spirit in us to show us the thing, who God is and all the things about him. Because he wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. Ecclesiastes 3:11, this isn't on your paper. He says, he's made everything beautiful in his time. He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Have you ever heard the phrase, he put eternity in their hearts? Mm-hmm. All right, that's a translation of he has set the world in their hearts. And I've looked that up before. It's like he's put in all of our hearts a desire to find out what's going to happen, what's coming, what's the truth is. You know, he's put that, and he's put that in us. But even though we have that searching, no man can find out completely God's work. It's just so marvelous. It's like, oh yeah, this is what God does. I was thinking today, have you ever, all right, Lord, this would be really good if you would do this. You know, maybe it's for like a lost loved one. You know, and you put out things for them to see all the time. And, you know, and you figure out, or maybe it's, you know, you want your kid to get married and your son or daughter to get married, and so you're like, okay, God, if you did it like this, that person would be good, and we could, you know, and this would be so, this is so you. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done that? God, this would just be so like you. Well, I don't even know. God does it totally different than I think he's going to do it, and better. God works in ways we cannot comprehend, but the greatest thing is to know that he is always working. And that's what I want us to look at tonight in some of the scriptures I've given you. How he works, maybe just the characteristics, things that he does. And there's just, I just put a few. I tried to limit things. I just barely scratched the surface in what I gave you to do tonight. Isaiah 46:10-11 says that he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient and times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And later, yes, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I will also do it. That's God speaking. What he purposes, what he plans, he will perform it, and he will do it. Satan's not going to mess his plans up, all right? We're not going to mess his plans up. And he does, his works are sure. Romans 11:33, Paul says this, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who's known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? You know, nobody had to tell him, why don't you do it this way? We try to tell him that way all the time. But no one can counsel God. He's all knowledge and all wisdom. And this is what I was saying a minute ago, 1 Corinthians 2:9-13 and 16 are the verses we've already studied about how the Holy Spirit's been given to us to show us the things of God. Like, who can know the mind of God, mind of man, but the spirit of man that's in him? Who can know the mind of God, but the spirit of God that's in him? And we have that spirit living in us. We studied that together. So we have the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, to show us those things. So even though God is unsearchable and unknowable in the natural, he is knowable, and we can find out about him in the spirit. He can speak to us and show us his ways. Let's turn to Psalm 103 together. There are so many praises that David gives to God, and all about all the wonderful things he does. His mighty works, but this is just one of them that talks about God's works. And he starts off, I think this is so important to, when we know God's works, it's going to cause us to praise him. When we see God work, it causes us to praise him. And that's what David does. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So here's some of his works. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. Crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies our mouth with good things so that youth is renewed like the eagles. He executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And I had been looking for that verse because it came to my mind. Moses wanted to know God's ways, and God made known his ways. Israel knew the things he did for them, but they forgot about God. They doubted him. They were in unbelief. So it's more than just knowing things he does, but knowing why. His ways. He's faithful. He's true. And that's what y'all are going to look at. His ways. Why he does what he does. He's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. I think you could go on, and I won't take time, but in reading the scripture and reading the Psalms, who God is and what he does, and stop on each one and just think about it. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I want to mention it right now. There's a scripture that talks about the manifold wisdom of God, Psalm 104:24. And it talks about his manifold wisdom. And manifold, there's a part in a car called a manifold. Different things. I always think of it as many folds. You know, you ever made those paper fans?
Yeah.
And you fold them up, you know, but then you open them up and you see all the folds. And I brought this because I think Jane Smith gave me this, but I'm not sure. If one of y'all gave me this, thank you. I don't remember. But you could see on here there's some kind of picture. It's pink and red and white and blue, and you see something on it. And it's kind of like God's works. We see what he does, you know, but we really can't see the depth of it. We can't see all the angles of it. And manifold, where did I write that down? Refers to the many angles, hues, and dimensions of God's knowledge and application in all things. So, you know, we just think about if we were to open this up, right now we can't see it. We can maybe see a little more, you know. You can see a little more and a little more and a little more. But when you open it up, you really get a good idea of all that's folded up in there. And you don't see it. Many folds, manifold. But when you open it up, you see such depth and such beauty and, you know, so much more to it. Well, God's like that. It's like his works are manifold. His wisdom. It's like I could see him doing some things, but man, if I stop and let me look at it a little bit longer. Let me see and just take this one thing that God does and meditate on it and think about it some more and just admire it, how beautiful it is, and how, wow, that one thing you did, God, it was this and it was this and it affected here and it did this. You know, and just it praises him for us to do that, to meditate on his manifold works. Because they are many folds. They are many hues and many angles to what God does. I don't remember who I was talking to. I always forget things like this. But recently, we're just talking about, you know, God's work, and I do remember now. He was going for a job interview, and, you know, he didn't get the job, but he's just trusting the Lord. I said, well, you never know what God's working here to get ready for you here, you know, or he's working over here. And it just blows your mind when you think about it, because he's doing all that for me. But he's also doing all that for you and every believer. So it's just kind of like, you know, I can't even fathom how God's always working and orchestrating things just according to his will and for his glory and for us to answer prayers, to meet our needs. So his ways are just manifold and beautiful and far beyond. I'll just read a few things to you. As far as he is above us and as separate as he is from us, we aren't little gods, you know. He is holy, righteous. Jesus lives in me, and that's what makes me holy. But other than that, you've heard the phrase, the otherness of Christ. You know, it's completely separate from what we are. He's not a man like me. He's invited us to know him, even as far above and separate as he is. And we mentioned Moses' hunger to see God's glory and how God hid him in the cleft of the rock. God wanted to know him. God wanted to see him. And so he did. God showed him and revealed himself to Moses. And he hid him in the cleft of the rock, which is a picture, a type, a shadow of Christ. That we're hidden in Christ so that we can see God and know who he is. There is a danger in not knowing the work of the Lord. So let's turn to a few more scriptures before I turn it over to your table. Judges 2:7. Judges 2, chapter 2. Just like Moses had a desire to see God, we need to have that desire. Lord, just let me know you. Let me draw closer to you. Let me see you. Show me who you are. Show me more of yourself. Show me your work. Show me your ways. Not for me. For I want to see you. I want to just for you. I want to be able to give you glory. Because God's working all around us, and if we don't notice it, we don't give him glory for it. I need to be noticing and seeing what God's doing so I can give him praise. Judges 2, verse 7 says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves." Am I in the right place? Okay, that fits, but that's not the right one. All right, that was chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 7 says, "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." So the people served the Lord as long as somebody else had seen God's works and could tell him, you know. But once those people died, things changed. Verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered to their fathers," those who had, you know, seen God's works. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and forsook the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt." So we could be, it's dangerous for us to not know what God does and know his works. And we have his word to tell us, and we have our relationship with him to tell us. We have our church and our teaching and, you know, the preaching, the God speaking. We need to pursue that. We need to be involved with that and know God, what God's doing, so we don't forget and believe something that's a lie. You know, the New Testament talks all the time about false teachers coming and arising, and, you know, you need to know the truth. And we've talked about the truth. Psalm 28:5 also says about the wicked, "They regarded not the works of the Lord." You know, so I'm like, oh, big deal. You know, yeah, whatever. I don't give importance to what God's doing. It's just what I want, what I want right now. And it says they'll be destroyed. Psalm 78:32 says, "All this, after all this," talking about Israel being led in the wilderness, the Red Sea parting, the manna falling from the ground, on and on and on, what God did for them.
Which one was it, Psalms what?
78:32. It says, "For all this they sinned still, and believe not for his wondrous works." You know, something in what we are in our human nature. We forget so fast. We're not that loyalty that should be in us. To like when God does something, you know, or God works, and we're so excited and so grateful, but then we go on and another trouble comes and we don't have the faith to believe he's going to work again. You know, because he did before, he'll do it again. And we struggle and we get troubled because we lose hope, and yet God always is faithful. He's always faithful. One thing I've learned in myself is not to look at someone else's life and think, oh, man, why are they so dealing with all this sickness? Or why is this happening in their life? Why isn't God answering their prayers? Why isn't God? We don't know what God's doing in that particular person's life and how he's using what they're going through for good and for his glory and for to perform what he wants to do in them. So I just have to, I say, you know what? I know he's been faithful to me. I'm not going to look and see, judge something I don't know all the depths of. I just know what he's done for me and what he's been to me. And he has been so faithful, so faithful. So I've given us two examples to look at after these verses. Like, there's verses to look through. Don't take too long because Kayla, oh, you're not the table leader, I'm sorry. But on the back of the page, there's more. There's stuff on the front and the back. Okay, I'm so sassy. But there's a couple of people's lives, and look, I know that's a lot of scriptures, but it's all in a row. It's the life of Joseph. And you may not need to look at all these scriptures, you know. But it's really just kind of, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. Same thing for Peter, a situation with Peter and his relationship towards the end of Jesus' life. And so when y'all get to them, just look at them. Just open up your Bibles and go through together and say, oh yeah, here, look at that, look at this. See how God is working through their lives for his purposes and how Satan is trying to thwart God's work, because that's what he does. Satan tries to destroy what God's doing and bring destruction. In the garden, God told the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman. You are going to be her enemy. So now we have an enemy. And you, Satan, your seed is going to be enemy with her seed. God said, furthermore, he would bruise his heel. Satan would bruise his heel, but Eve's seed would bruise his head. And that's the victory we have in Christ. So we have an enemy. Satan's working too. But, you know, he's very narrow-minded. He's just, I mean, in my opinion, he's just got one focus. I just want to be God and destroy anything God's trying to do. So if we're his, if we belong to God, he wants to bring destruction in our life. He's just that lies, kills, steals, destroys, accuses, and you're going to see those things as you study. The same thing he does all the time. And so we can look and see what's happening right now. What is this? This is the work of the enemy. This is one of his schemes, one of his ugly plans. So just as an example, I want to talk about Job for just a minute. And we won't even look it up because most of you know the story of Job. But in chapter 1 of Job, it talks about the man Job as perfect and upright. He feared God. He departed from evil. He was wealthy. He was blessed. I mean, he had it all. And Satan comes in front of God one day as the sons of God came to talk and to commune with God. I guess the angels came. Well, Satan came too. And it says in chapter 1, verse 7, he came from roaming the earth. He had been roaming to and fro, looking for someone to give trouble to. That's all he's doing. That's what he does. And that's where he had come from. And he began to accuse God. He said, he's just serving. He doesn't really love you. He accused Job as well. But he's just serving you because you give him everything, you know. That's the only reason. So Satan's bringing accusations and even, you know, tries to put God to the test. Like, do this, do this, do this. You know, when God allows some things to happen, God allows Satan to do some things. And then he even comes back after he destroys his crops. I think it's crops. I don't know, all his animals, everything he has, all his possessions. And he takes his children's lives, the enemy, through a storm. But Job is untouched. Satan even comes back and says, okay, well, that's just, you know, because he said, God, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job didn't curse God like his wife told him to. But he just blessed the Lord anyway, even though he lost all of that. So then Satan goes, well, it's just because, you know, you won't let me touch him. He'll still turn away from you if you'd let me touch him. And God allows him to bring sickness upon Job. And we know the story there. And he has these three miserable friends that just accuse him of being a sinner. And that's why you're sick. And all the things that happened to Job. And Job defends himself. And then finally God speaks. And Job says, I'm just going to cover my mouth. And I'm just not going to say another word. Because he saw God and who he really was. And all of that attempting, all of that time, Job never loses He loses everything, and he's sick in his body, but he never loses his faith. I know my Redeemer lives, and I'll see him on that day. I will stand with him on that day. No matter what happens on this earth, though my flesh be destroyed, you know, he talks about that. I know. So he knew God. He knew God was wise and good. I know I'll see him on that day. And I'm trying to remember what that other scripture was. Let me look it up. Job 19:25. Something else Job said. Oh, that's the one. I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So I don't know what the other one was. 1:21. It's probably that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yes, blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job never lost that his praise for the Lord, his trust in the Lord, his surrender to the Lord. Even though he, God, why? You know, he kept that faith. But we could see God's work was wisdom, truth, righteousness. Job was tested. He allowed things to happen in his life, but God brought good. Look at the end of Job. Y'all all look at the last chapter. I love the last part of Job. If you think about, it's 42. Chapter 42 of Job, verse 7. 42. Is that right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. So Job repents because God has just finished speaking to him and he realizes, you know, who he is before God. He's just nothing. I repent in dust and ashes, he says. I abhor myself. That's verse 6. And verse 7, it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and your two friends. So God is speaking to these three guys who just constantly discouraged Job. You have not spoken of me the thing that is right. So I'm always careful when I look up a scripture in Job, make sure you know who's saying it, okay? Because God said, you didn't speak right of me. So I don't want to quote something from Job that those three guys said, you know what I mean? Unless I do it properly. But so there's one guy, though, that comes in after everybody, and God never rebukes him. Elihu, E-L-I-H-U. He's a young guy. And he says, I waited till all, you know, let my elders speak. But then he gives some good stuff. God never rebukes him. Therefore, take unto you now, verse 8, 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. I mean, that's all you've got to have right there. Lord, accept me. Job is going to be able to come before me, but you're going to need to ask Job to pray for you because of your sins. Lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. And he talks about his three friends, and it says, they all did what the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job, his person, his face. In other words, Job was able to be in the presence of the Lord. Then came all his sisters and brothers, and they that had been his acquaintances before, and ate bread with him in his house, bemoaned him, comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. They never were around the rest of the time. I don't know. Anyway, every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-donkeys. I can't say that word. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. So 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had I didn't look twice as many. I don't know how many more. But he had more children. He had more sons and daughters. Now I'm sure he grieved the loss of his children. But God comforted him and gave him more than he had before. And he calls them the names. The three daughters even had an inheritance. They were so beautiful and so fair. So back then, you know, the women didn't get anything. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons, his sons' sons, so his grandchildren, even 4 generations. So he was able to see his children and his children's children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, to be able to enjoy God's presence and the blessings of God again. So, you know, we look at things and trials and testings and wonder, why God? But God has a purpose. And this purpose was to even show the devil, you know, that I am worthy of praise. I am worthy of honor. I'm worthy. No matter what happens, this man praised me because he knows I'm worthy of it. He knows I'm worthy of it. So take some time now and look through this with your table leader. Go through some scriptures. Don't take too long on the first page, but...